Welcome back, everybody. My name is Tub.
And I'm Jonesy.
And
we watch movies. Not our best. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Good enough.
Get better. We'll get better.
We'll get better.
You say that every week.
Yeah. Someday we might be too good. And then we're going to be like, we would have pulled back a little
someday
bit.
Someday we might
the bar
just,
too high.
We might just do it bad 30 times in a row and then be like, do you want to stop doing that?
And then we'll stop
be
doing
like,
it.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it.
But welcome back, everybody. This week we watched the 1987 horror classic written and directed by Clive Barker, Hellraiser.
That's the one. This felt like such an old movie.
Though
it's not that, I mean, it's the 80s, but
it's as old as I am. Yeah.
Wow.
It's old.
Shit.
it's just dated too. Like if you look at me
so
in
dated.
Real life, if you find me in real life and you see me, I'm going to look like the special effects from Hellraiser. I'm like, I was groundbreaking when I was 18.
So impressive.
But now still quite effective, but not there. It's seen better days.
I mean, gory.
Super gory.
I feel like I love the anticipation for all the gore in this movie. Like they kept kind of like just hinting at it. And then finally they just rip.
A lot of things get ripped in this movie.
A lot of things get ripped.
A lot of flesh ripping.
A lot of ripping. A lot of soul ripping too. A
lot of things getting ripped and torn. And a lot of hooks. And a lot of baldness.
A lot of baldness. A lot of pins.
A lot of hairspray.
A lot of hairspray.
A lot of rats, maggots, cockroaches. So this film kicks off. The film immediately dates itself. apparently, the movie starts off. Well, we'll do the non-spoiler thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, non-spoiler. Well, if you haven't seen Hellraiser, like.
Yeah,
come
this
on.
Movie's old. This
is an old movie.
'87.
It's a horror classic. Oh my God. I was just talking to someone the other day. You know how if you're just really into horror or something that you figure everyone's heard of something?
Yeah.
And then you realize not everyone is really into all this
it's
stuff.
Like, what? You haven't heard of that niche-ass movie, you fucking moron?
No. I was talking to someone the other day and I said, oh yeah, I'm watching Hellraiser for this podcast. And they were like, oh, I've heard of that. And I was like, you've heard of Hell... Oh, come on. Like, you've heard of Hellraiser. Anyway, if you haven't seen Hellraiser, what the fuck?
Yeah, get with the program.
Get with the program.
Go watch it. Go watch it and then come back and listen to us talk about it. You know the drill.
You know that. Come on. By now, you know the drill.
So yeah, it's about this puzzle box that this guy gets, and he gets caught up, and then some freaky-deaky things happen with his ex-girlfriend type thing, who is with his brother, and then that's basically hijinks ensue.
Hijinks ensue. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they say that the puzzle box is supposed to be a portal to heaven and hell, but you don't really see any heaven. It's only heaven for sadists, I think. That's
right. Yeah. I think it's kind of all the like in your like whoever fucks with it, it's like whatever they're looking for, like they get the most extreme elements of both, I think.
Yeah, but it's like you never see
pain.
But you never see someone, I mean, we're past the spoiler part, but you never see someone who what's the name? Christy, that girl at the end when she uses it. I mean, yeah, she banishes things with it, but it's not like she creates like this heaven landscape. I feel like I've never seen.
Right. And I don't know that it's like, I think that might be something that really gets worked in more like
down
later.
The
line. The idea of it being like they're on a side. I always kind of assumed in especially in the first one, that they are like kind of in a middle ground where they essentially can torture and have fun with these souls that are kept from heaven and hell, almost in a way. Just like to be tortured forever, I think.
Just seems hellish. Either way.
Yeah, but some people like that. Like this
That's
fucking
true.
Weirdo. This fucking weirdo.
So it's really
weirdo
like
in the
a
beginning.
Matter of perception. Yeah, you're right. Well, that's Frank in the beginning, isn't it?
Frank. Okay, let's start with this real quick. Okay.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
Okay, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
This movie dates itself by this guy's horribly off, off-putting Asian accent.
Very,
As soon as I heard it, I thought it was like Mickey Rooney or something. Like, it's not something that would fly.
And, you know, he says something really interesting that they never explain. He says, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, take it. It's yours.
It always was. Like, wait, what? I like, now that I was watching this movie taking notes, because I've seen it several times, I was like, do they ever explain that? Like, I don't feel like they ever really do.
I don't, at least not in this one, really. Okay. So, yeah, he's in, apparently he's in Morocco.
Okay.
What I looked up. So in the beginning of the movie, you have this guy. His name's Frank. And every ounce of dialogue we get from Frank in the movie is dubbed.
Dude, I was going to say, it sounds like when you watch a Japanese movie and it's dubbed with English. I mean, I always have thought that, but it's, I think I actually forgot until I rewatched it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot this guy's voice is just super weird.
And so this guy's a freaky deaky. And he's into a lot of wild shit, and apparently he hears about some sort of box that he can buy from this old Asian gentleman.
It's his pleasure.
Who, he wants to fuck himself up, fam, with this puzzle box, and he doesn't quite know what to get from it, but he buys it from him for, like, a shitload of money.
Yeah.
It looked like, especially by 1987 standards. That was quite the wad of
fat stacks.
Cash.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the guy, the Asian dealer gives it to him, and there we go.
Yeah, and then they get right into it. Like, I mean, what I love about Hellraiser is it really pulls no punches, which is pretty rad. Like, the next scene we see, he's surrounded by a square of candles. Like, he's making this an event. And he turns the puzzle box, and it's just gnarly gore.
Oh, yeah, he gets all the flesh ripped.
Digging, all these hooks come out of nowhere and just rip him apart. And he's, I guess, all about it.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's you know, you don't see shit like that every day.
Another corny thing, though, that, like, just as corny as the dubbed voices, is that when they show his face at the end, it's like all cracked on the floor and his eyeballs are included in the cracked face. Like, that's not how that works. Like, that's, you know, but you just, like, it's goofy, but, you know, it's Hellraiser.
There's some goofy stuff like
there's
that
some goofy stuff
in this movie.
Yeah.
It's not all serious.
No. And that's when we first see Pinhead, just right in the beginning.
Yep, we get him a little bit, and he rearranges his face on the ground in the room where he was torn apart, Frank. And then he messes with the puzzle box, which is known as the Lament configuration.
The Lament, that's what the box is called?
Yeah, I just had to say it like that. The Lament configuration.
The Lament configuration. I didn't know
Correct.
That.
Yep. And so he messes with that. Everything gets sucked back into the puzzle box. And then the room is back to normal, which is pretty shitty, though. Like, that room. Okay. So, like, that house is fine, right? There's nothing wrong with that house.
The walls are all fucked up.
But the one, is when you go upstairs, it's like, it's like it was bombed out.
It's like there's rot. That's like black mold and shit.
Yeah.
I felt like the walls, tell me if I'm crazy, I thought the walls were actually getting worse as the movie progressed.
I mean, maybe.
Did you notice that? I didn't know if maybe I just kept...
It's pretty gross.
It's pretty gnarly. But, like, it kept... I thought that throughout the movie... Because I wondered if you watched it multiple times. I didn't.
I did.
You did? Did you? Didn't notice that with the walls? Maybe I'm...
No, you know, there's a lot... Like, in Hellraiser, there's a lot less stuff like that. I think that I was actually picking up on. It would be more like funny stuff.
Yeah, it's
There's a lot of, like, things where the Cenobites, right?
Mm-hmm.
and we can talk about it more later, but like,
yeah,
if they're chasing you, they don't move. You could just run away from them.
Yeah.
They're basically like in one room and they're like, you cannot escape. And then,
but they can also kind of like appear places. Like kinda, they can like materialize places.
But there's like a part later where she just like runs don't away do from that. Him and he's like, no.
I love when he's like, what is he? He's like, stop doing that. So weird.
And it's just, there's this part of me and I thought how comical it was that like, they just like, maybe they're embarrassed to leave the house looking like that.
Oh.
And they're like, I don't want my nipples to be showing.
Like, I look like I'm in a goth club in the early 90s.
Now we're getting to Larry, the other chucklehead of Larry. This family. Mm-hmm. This is the dumbest. Let me just set it up. This is the dumbest family.
Real dumb.
Like, these people are dumb and their names totally indicate it. Because they're like
Frank and Larry.
Hey, Frank and Larry. And then you see these guys and it's like, yeah, you don't look like Frank and you don't look like a Larry. I mean, he kind of looks like a Larry.
Yeah, I could see
looks,
the Larry.
He looks like Bill Elliott. He was an old NASCAR driver.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I know nobody gives a shit, but he looked
but
like
I could,
him.
I get the NASCAR driver vibe from him though. I believe you. I could see that for sure.
He had a McDonald's car at one point in time. That's all I know.
Yeah, that sounds right. I hear you.
And so we see Larry and Julia. And it's just the names. I don't know. It's just something with the names in this movie. They make me laugh. Like, yeah. Julia, Larry, Frank, Kirsty.
Kirsty is a very, it seems like a very like 80s name.
Very 87. Big 87 vibes.
Specifically.
Big 87 energy.
Real 87 energy, yeah. But yeah, Frank is, he's the one who doesn't match to me. And his his voice is just comical through the whole thing. You're just like, what in the world?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's
really hilarious.
Bad. So they're basically coming back home to like the family homestead to move back home. Or at least Larry wants to move back home, but it's a hard sell on his apparently second wife, Julia.
Yeah, his first wife died 10 years ago. And now they're moving back in since she died. Julia's just smoking a cigarette, just scowling. Like, she just fucking hates it.
She's a hard sell.
Yeah.
She's not fun. She's not a fun lady.
No, she's kind of a bitch. But she's not wrong, because again, they show the kitchen and there's just maggots everywhere.
I actually side with her, like, most of the movie.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. Like, I know you're supposed to, like the good guys and stuff, but it's like, no. But then again, I don't know. Larry's just so fucking lame.
He is really lame.
Like, this guy, I don't know. You have to watch the movie to really get the vibe across.
I feel
he's like if you like dad jokes and guys that look like Bill Elliott, you'd love Larry.
Poor Larry. He's so dumb. But, you know, like, I guess, like you were just saying, how you're supposed to side with certain people, but you are siding with Julia. The only person in the movie that I actually side with is Kirsty, who I feel like you're supposed to.
Well, yeah, she's like the only person that's like not a piece of shit.
Yeah. And she's actually, I thought she was like the best actress in the entire thing, too.
Oh, yeah. I would say for sure, probably between her and her dad.
Larry.
Larry, yeah.
Poor Larry.
He was a good actor.
Yeah.
It's just that fucking character is just so fucking
And also, like,
he's
80s
such a square.
Movies have that over-the-top acting style, too, that's, like, definitely gone out of fashion now, I feel like.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, there's a lot of that on display here. And so they're scoping out the old homestead and looking around and seeing what kind of mess was left in the wake of his brother Frank, who
he realizes it's Frank when he finds that like pornographic sculpture, which kind of connected into the lighthouse.
Right.
Did
we
you
got
think
all
that?
Sorts of connections here. Yeah, it was like his little sex totem. His little wank statue.
It's weird how our movies every week have like a weird connection with them.
It is. And
it's got the pop.
It's true. Yep, the pop. And then there was another one last week.
Sex totem.
Yep, and then now we have
week.
And now we have the sex totem.
How's the sex totem? That's the thing. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a puzzle box in the next movie. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. And he had like this guy, like, and I wonder how long he's been gone. Did they say how long he's been gone? Because
Frank?
When I was looking something up, it said years. But I don't know if that's true.
I don't think we know because obviously he was in the attic when he was playing with the puzzle box, got ripped apart, and then I guess disintegrated into the floorboards or something. Like, because there's an element of him still there. Or maybe right. He like evaporates out into the hellish, like other dimension of what's inside the puzzle box.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some residual Frank essence left in there after he was ripped apart.
Yeah, I'm sure it had that Frank musk to it. Well, Christy, the daughter, calls. Christy, Larry's daughter.
That's right, yeah.
Calls him. And then we kind of know all the characters. She says she found a room, so she's not going to stay with them, and she's going to get a job. Which, for some reason, he's just like, why?
Because Julie's a bitch, and I don't want to live with you, okay?
Like, I thought you were going to live with us. What do you mean?
He's like, you'll like it here. And she's like, you'll like my room.
Yeah. He's like, there's roaches here. What do you mean?
There's roaches and Julia.
Uncle Frank was squatting up here. What do you mean? You're going to love it. You love Uncle Frank. Yeah. So Christy's like, no, I'm a grown-ass woman.
Well, then Julia wants to, she goes and checks out Frank's little wank station.
Yeah.
Finds some pictures of him with his, I don't know, ladies of the night, just lady friends. Doing some masked shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
She takes a picture because she clearly fucking hates Larry and, like, would rather die.
Yeah, their relationship is notably tense, the whole time.
They should not have gotten married.
No.
You don't have to do it.
You don't have to get married. Why do people do it?
You can say no.
It's like a really bad idea.
If you're fucking your groom's brother the day of the wedding,
don't do it.
You can say no.
Say no.
It's okay.
He's clearly not rich. I'm like, what is? She's not like a gold digger. Because what is he in this? Why? Just go with Frank. He's a ne'er-do-well.
And honestly, you don't want Frank. He's not the kind of guy you just want to not know where he is.
Oh, yeah. Because
he'll just show up at your house and be like, okay, I'm back.
He's not going to pay rent.
Yeah, I got these animal skulls I can pay rent with.
Yeah. Oh, we find out Christy's mother's dead, and Julia finds these photos of Frank. And that's when, I think that's when we actually realize, that she has that fantasy and memory. I couldn't tell at first if it was like a memory or a fantasy.
That's a memory, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Of their wedding day, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Him showing up.
But I think that's the one where, he, cuts off her bra strap with, a switchblade. And she's like, but what about Larry? And he's like, fuck Larry. whatever.
I know the first one I think she has is where she, sees him come up to the door and it's raining.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, are you going to let me in?
Yes,
Can I get a towel? And then Kirstie's doing something with the coffee pot, and there's water shooting everywhere, and she's like, oh, can I get a towel? And then
Julia's having this fantasy where clearly she had an unsavory sexual relationship with Frank, her brother-in-law.
Right, while she was engaged to be married to Larry.
And I mean, it probably continued after, or who knows. But then, at the same time, they're building tension that Larry's about to get his hand fucked up while he's moving that mattress.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they got the moving men who are the shittiest moving men.
They, stop at the bottom of the stairs.
They get, a whole 5 feet in the house, and then the guy's like, you just want to take five?
Yeah.
You got
a beer in the fridge?
You want a beer? You want to stare at my daughter? Hey.
Yeah. What's your pleasure?
Yeah. And then they get, then Julia's like, they're in the fridge. And then the fucking Larry guy is like, well, I guess I'm not doing anything important. I'll get you a drink.
I know.
It's like, dude, they can get their own fucking beer. Like, I guess this was in the 80s when we were more polite to, like, movers and shit. And we're just like, hey, you want a beer before you haul my fucking mattress up to my room?
I feel like that's something you'd want to ask for, like, after.
So they finally get it up the stairs. And, yeah, there's, like, it's right in the... They mash it up really funny with the... there's the sex scene in, like, the memory between Frank and Julia. And that's getting hot and heavy. And then it's spliced in with Larry moving the fucking mattress up the stairs. And he gets cut on his hand by this nasty, rusty nail.
But they build that suspense. Like, they keep showing it and showing it. And you're like, oh, God, just do it.
So we see Larry and dude cuts himself.
Bad.
And in typical Larry fashion, though, this guy... goes up the stairs. Like, this is another common theme in this movie, is this stupid ass family of people. Anytime something bad happens, they go up the stairs into this dirty ass room.
Yeah.
Just go down the stairs.
No, but it's because he had to give his hand to Julia because he's
like
a pussy about the blood.
Like a fucking baby. He's like literally a baby.
So
he's
cringe.
Like, the look on his face too, when he's like walks in there, he turns into like this little 6-year-old. He's like, oh, the bloody hand. That's honestly one of my favorite scenes because it's so funny. It makes me laugh.
And he's bleeding a shitload, too.
Bleeding a shit ton, and it's dripping all over the ground. It's like doing those like little like puddle effects where it hits and it goes like plonk.
Yeah.
Plonk.
And it's just splashing. Like, it's just so dramatic.
And eventually, that all leads into probably my actual favorite scene in the movie. This is where it gets fucking wild, right?
Yeah.
The blood's dripping everywhere, and then we start to see the blood kind of soak down into the floorboards, and it starts to manifest, and you see like a little beating heart scrotum type thing, and eventually it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and it's disgusting, but there's a lot of really cool effects going on, and it is Frank. Resurrected or brought back, not resurrected because he wasn't really dead, he was just having his soul torn
elsewhere
apart.
Yeah,
and now he has escaped from this realm and he is back on Earth, back in this shitty room where he was torn apart in the first place, but he is like all just bones and meat.
Well, I love the way he forms. Like, he comes up, it's like two poles. It almost looks like spider legs or something. And then it, like, lifts itself up and is, like, forming this grotesque... The rats are freaking out.
And so now we know that Frank is back in the picture. He's back to life.
As a weird zombie, partially back to life.
Sack of bones and...
gore and goo. Like,
bad
goo for
energy.
Some reason. Yeah. And they have a dinner party at the same time, underneath, unbeknownst what's going on upstairs.
Yeah, there's so much going on in this house. And that's like a rule to me where I don't want to live in a house where someone else can be in the house, like being a manifested pile of like bones and muscle and stuff and screaming and me not hear it.
Yeah.
Like that's
a problem. That's a good point. Yeah, you'd think you would.
Even if I was like Larry Rich, which I don't know how rich he is, but it's a pretty big house. I would probably go smaller.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like almost maybe that was what was left to him from his wife or something. They don't really explain where he was for 10 years.
I just think it was like, the family house.
Yeah. I think they lived there. The mom died. Because remember, the one of the movers is like hitting on Christy and he's like, oh, you're a spitting image of your mom. And Frank's like, Larry's like, her mom's dead. I was like, Jesus, okay. Larry, easy.
And they just let Frank live there then?
He was a squatter. So he was squatting upstairs to do his deeds.
So all these idiots are having a silly dinner with bad jokes. And Larry is back from the hospital. And Julia's like, I fucking hate you guys. I'm leaving.
I'm going to bed. Did you notice that guy hit on Christy at the dinner table right in front of his mom? Or in front of his dad? Her dad? Fuck me.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't matter because he's cool because he does cigarette tricks.
Oh, my God, though. He's like, he makes a comment where he's like pouring her more alcohol, whatever they're drinking. And she's like, stop, I'm not going to be able to stand up. And he goes, so lie down. I was like, whoa. Right.
Welcome
in front of Larry.
To 1987.
Right, that's true. What's Larry going to do about it, I guess? Like,
Larry will do nothing.
Yeah, he's
Larry,
like, Julia.
Larry's the only guy that would get cucked by his brother and then let some little douche do cigarette tricks to his daughter in front of him.
Yeah, and he's just, whatever. Like,
weird. Nope, it's all right, because I'm with my loving wife, Julia, and she loves me.
Julia's like, fuck all y'all, good night.
I'm about to go fuck your corpse of a brother, bro.
So, yeah, and she doesn't know yet that he's up there.
Nope, not yet. But she's doing her wandery thing, and she goes and she wanders around, and she goes up there, and then what does she see?
A ghoul grabs her ankle.
But Frank, and then he says in his overdubbed voice, don't look at me.
He scuttles after her, like on his forearms. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
That's my favorite line in the movie. That's not true, but I love it.
I love any of his lines that are yeah. fucking Tommy Wiseau overdubbed.
Yeah. It is the blood on the floor. It brought me back.
It basically tells her what's going on. And then doesn't Kirstie come up there?
She's all drunk.
She's a little tipsy, a little dip too much into the alcohol.
I will say, for how much the, like, we talk shit about the special effects in this movie, I thought when the blood seeped into the floorboard, it was actually pretty cool.
Oh, no. Like, see, that's the thing is, like, it's all, like, good.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's like, super innovative. It's just, yeah. I think a lot of it is the nature of it being such a, like, edgy film from back in the day.
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of funny. But the movie still, for the most part, holds up. And
yeah.
It ultimately is still pretty terrifying by concept.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just... It also has Butterball.
You know, so, what I was thinking while we were watching it? I don't, like, I know all the names of the Cenobites except for the girl one, actually. I don't know her name. So it's like, I know Pinhead, Butterball, and the Chatterer. But
yeah,
I realized watching it, they don't say their names, at least in the first one. So I was like, how did I even know them?
Yeah, I think in the credits, they might have them credited, except for Pinhead. I think he's just like, first Cenobite or lead
Cenobite. Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. And he's like the main... I saw that all the Cenobites were supposed to have more lines, but their makeup made it really difficult for them to talk. So that's why Pinhead got most of the lines.
I could see that. I could also see... Well, I heard his contact lenses were black and he couldn't see through them.
Oh,
so I think that's why they just stayed hanging out in that room all the time and everyone could just walk away from him.
It's like, just point me in the right direction.
He can tear your soul apart, but he can't tear this house apart.
No. And he can't even really see you.
Yeah, and he can't move. So
don't do that.
He's not that threatening.
But yeah, so yeah, Christy's hammered. Julia learns that she needs more blood for Frank.
Yeah, yeah, because she's trying to get him all skinned up and back to normal.
Yeah, so he can...
So they can bust this popsicle joint.
They're like, let's get the fuck out of here.
So then we get to a dream sequence where Kirstie's having a dream where there's like this thing on a bed and blood, it's bleeding.
There's like a white sheet covering it. So you think it's like a corpse and there's feathers everywhere for some reason.
Feathers are everywhere. And then there's a baby crying.
Yep.
It is.
And then, well,
weird.
The corpse starts breathing heavily and then it sits up and you only see it for a split second. I had to go back a couple times and be like, is that supposed to be her dad?
I had the same problem because I didn't know the way it's shot.
Yeah.
This thing shoots up, right? And it's got this, you know, prosthetic face. It's not a real person.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, is that supposed to be her dad?
Yeah, or, so because you thought the same thing.
In the next shot, they show her boyfriend, like, shoot up out of bed,
yeah.
Like, frame for frame, basically, with that dead body. And then she freaks out. So I was like, okay, but you can't really tell whose face it is.
Well, but then now that I'm thinking about it, she calls her dad to check on him. So it must have been her dad. Yeah.
But like,
you can't tell at all. I literally paused and like studied it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know who that's supposed to be. That's a little sus.
It's a little sus. So she calls her dad and talks to him about how she hopes that he's okay because she's worried about him because she just had this freaky deaky dream. Basically tells her he loves her. Everything's cool in the, I forgot their last name, but I was going to call them their last name.
I don't even know their last name. But yeah, in the household, it seems fine. But he makes a comment to Julia where he's like, well, she had a bad dream. And she goes, who? And he says, Christy. And then Frank's like,
yeah, they're so dumb. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because isn't Frank like hanging out on the stairs like a fucking weirdo?
Yeah.
Like he's fucking Spider-Man or some shit. Christy.
He's just bleeding all over the fucking place the whole time. Like
come
just making
daddy.
A mess.
Yeah, they don't notice his like fleshy lumps everywhere and like skin nastiness.
Just goo oozing out of him. Yeah, he's a mess.
He's so gross.
Which is weird because like there's blood is what sustains him, and then he's just bleeding all over. I don't know.
Well, then we get to some of the fun parts in the movie where Julia goes into Black Widow mode, and she starts going after dudes at the bars and bringing them home to have some close time with them, or so they think.
So they think.
But not quite. Psych. She ends up bringing them back to the house, tricking them, hitting them with a hammer, and feeding them to old boy Frank.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
He says it again, which is fantastic. I think it's like the funniest line. Well, but I do have to say that just speaking of like the 80s prosthetics, all the corpses in this movie are like comically, cartoonishly ghoulish. Like that guy, like he looked like the painting of the Scream.
I liked it, honestly.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's fun, but it's ridiculous.
When she whacks him with the hammer, too.
A lot of this movie is like, you just forgive it.
Well, yeah.
It's fun.
And at the time, it's terrifying. Like, it's just so much time has gone by. So back to Frank and Julia. Frank is coming back. He's getting his muscular, nervous tissues back.
The poor guy who died, I mean, I'm glad they kind of made him a dick when he walked in the door at first. He's like, you're not going to change your mind, are you? Like, that guy, he really didn't contribute too much to Frank's body. Like, if you notice, Larry's drop of blood pretty much makes most of Larry. Or, I mean, makes most of Frank. And then that guy dies. And Frank just...
Yeah, I wonder
like,
if it's
we
because they were related or something.
Oh, maybe. That's a good point.
Yeah,
that could be.
I don't know. So Frank, he tells Julia, he talks about how I'm hurting. My nerves are beginning to work again.
Yeah.
And he thinks it'll be maybe another body or two before he's back to normal. Julia doesn't want to help him again, though. She kind of regrets it a little bit. Or I think she's maybe just scared of him because he's like this nasty.
Well, she does put his fucking finger in her mouth.
But she doesn't really. I don't think she wants to kill again for him immediately, though. Because it's a little weird, you know? Little sketch.
Frank also mentions to her that the Cenobites are going to find out that he slipped them. So he's definitely trying to escape.
That's right. He gives her something. A little bit of the lay of the land, lets her know that essentially he escaped from this pleasure dome filled with weirdo sex demons. And they're after him because he escaped. Such is life.
They're going to be pissed.
Yep. He stole Butterball's sex swing and now is out for revenge.
Well, Christy, we see her at the pet store. She's got a job.
So we get this old lady bitching at Christy, and Christy's like, what do you want me to do about it? My boss isn't here right now, you old bitch. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then back to the vagrant who is in there doing some weird shady shit. Christy goes up to him and he is like fist deep in the fucking cricket thing.
And she's like, put those back.
And he's like, oh no, I'll put them in my mouth. And he eats them. that's that interaction, which is weird. The whole vagrant guy, I feel like there's something missing here.
He's my favorite character.
No, I know they ran out of money at some point.
Oh, really?
Like,
so
it wasn't
like
a
backstory.
It wasn't like a low budget movie, but they had to like get creative with certain things or like move things around or get rid of things entirely. And so I don't know. There's something with him. And I want to say, it's been so long. Now that I've watched this one, I want to go back and watch the other ones.
I know, me too.
I think there was something to do with like the vagrant guy.
That he comes back.
And I think they might bring something like that back.
We'll talk about him at the end too.
Yeah, something happens with him at the end, but it's still just like none of it makes sense.
No.
It's like, where's this guy coming from?
Which is why he's my favorite guy. I love that guy.
Why do they even have this pet scene?
Because he's weird. It's creepy.
We can watch him eat bugs. That's like the thing to do now too. So this fucking movie, this guy's eating bugs. This guy would be a hero now. You see, every person on the internet wants you to eat fucking cicadas right now.
Really?
They're like, oh,
there's an infestation of them. Yeah. Oh, is it in Michigan too?
Oh yeah, that's all I see everywhere because they're trying to get us to eat fucking bugs.
Someone told me, I have a friend who lives in Washington D.C. and he was telling me that too. That he's like, yeah, there's cicadas like coming out of the chimney and shit. It's like a horror movie.
I haven't seen any around here yet, though, but I also don't leave my house.
Me neither.
So.
Like, they might be in California. That. No, they're not.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there could be swarms of them outside just like.
You have no idea.
Ripping the flesh off of all my neighbors, and I would have no fucking clue.
Ship shape. No problems here.
No skin off my back, but I don't know about Carl over there.
So, yeah, so now we get this weird scene. The vagrant eats the crickets for no reason. Never explained. I think it's just meant to creep you out, really.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so, yeah, back then, people didn't eat bugs.
Yeah, nowadays, people eat anything. No. So we've got, yeah, Julia's bringing home another guy, kills him.
Black Widow mode, man-eater mode,
yeah,
whatever you want to call
Frank's
it.
Frank's smoking, bleeding all over the place.
He would smoke too, yeah. First thing he does after he fucking absorbs this dude is lights up a cigarette.
Yeah, and it's all covered in blood. It's just a lot of what works really well in this movie is it gets you on the gross factor. Like, the whole movie is just gross.
Well, and then what does he say? He's like, I haven't tasted anything in a long time.
Oh, yeah. He does say something like that.
It's like, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, Frank. You sick fuck.
Sick motherfucker.
Go back in your box.
The one thing I do love about this movie, too, is a lot of just the short little lines. Like, at this point, I wrote in my notes him saying, he was, like, describing the puzzle box to Julia. And he said they were doors to the pleasures of heaven or hell. I didn't care which. Pain or pleasure. Indivisible.
I think he just wants to push everything to its limit for better or worse.
Yeah. And that's the appeal of the puzzle box. It seems like anyone who's seeking it is kind of looking for that.
Right. And for this puzzle box, like, how easy is this thing supposed to be to open? Because I always was under the understanding it's, like, not easy to open. But then, like, every motherfucker in the first movie just, like, opens it at will.
Yeah.
And, like,
you solved the box. Like, I just touched it and it just
like,
opened.
Literally everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that hard. It kind of does it itself.
It feels like it. Maybe that's the thing, is it's tricking you into thinking you're some smart person, but then you're not.
Or maybe only certain people can do certain things with it.
Maybe.
Like, Christy at the end is just smashing it like it's just a fucking bad TV.
Well, yeah, it's like an old CD Walkman in the batteries are going dead. So you
exactly.
Whack it a few times, it starts working again.
Maybe it's kind of a piece of shit. Maybe it's not the best puzzle box.
I mean, there's probably better puzzle boxes out there.
Yeah.
I don't know, this Moroccan puzzle box. Maybe try like a, try one, maybe cost a little bit more, another wad of cash.
Maybe that's where the pleasures of heaven are. It's just more expensive.
I don't know. I think your box sucks, dude. I think your box is broken.
This box sucks. Yeah, then we kind of get to know the story. We know the Cenobites. We know... basically what the puzzle box does. Everything's kind of coming together. And Frank is just getting stronger.
Gaining his faculties and his strength body by body.
Another thing that's just gross for no reason is they nail the rats to the wall, which is sad.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's another thing.
Why
doesn't he just eat the rats?
Maybe it has to be human blood. But, like, why are they up there? It's just sad. These poor guys.
No, with the rats, though, I think that's just to show how, like, fucked up Frank is and how detached he is and how he just plays by his own fucking rules.
Sadistic.
Doesn't value any life other than his
own
dick. His dick and balls and box.
Yeah. I'm hurting.
Well, then we see one of the... It's another small, pointless-ass funny scene where we see Larry and Julia watching boxing.
Uh-huh.
And he's, like, getting really into it. And then Julia's like, whatever, dude. I'm not going to fuck you tonight. And then he's like... She doesn't really say that. But then he's like, well, I thought this stuff used to, like... I thought you used to hate watching this. It's going to make you sick.
And yeah.
She's just like, I've seen worse because I've been feeding guys to your fucking brother upstairs.
Yeah, like, that's an ominous thing to say.
Manifesting his flesh.
Another even weirder and gross interaction is directly after that when Larry and Julia are going to have sex and Frank comes up behind her with a knife and then for whatever reason cuts a rat in half, like, horizontally. What?
Well, he's making all sorts of noise. Like, he's stomping around upstairs. This dude, he wants to be seen.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be found.
Yeah.
And she's going to go check on him. And then Larry's like, nope, I'll be the man for once. I'll go check on it. And she's like, no, dude. And then so she stops him with some kissing and intimacy.
Right.
And then they go to start porking. And she also clearly doesn't want to.
Yeah, it's real bad.
And then she, like, looks at Frank, too. She, like, notices he's there because he, like, scurries into the room to hide into, like, this wardrobe type thing or closet or some shit.
Yeah.
To watch him. And then she's, like, kind of into it, but then, like, things start going. And then he comes out with the little blade that he's always he's always brandishing this shitty little switchblade.
Yeah.
Like some fucking 1950s ruffian, like.
Totally.
And he's got this little blade and he just starts cutting into the fucking mouse. It's disgusting.
It's just a gross factor thing again.
It's so gross. And she is like screaming, like, no, stop. Like,
and Larry's
stop.
Not stopping. Like,
and Larry, her husband, is just like, no, I'm going with it.
Yeah. He's like, this is probably her thing. I don't know. And then,
weird.
He finally lets up. But, like, through all of it, you're right. Frank makes so much noise that you're like, Larry, how are you not hearing this guy?
Like, well, no, there's one scene they literally show him stomp from, like, one side of the attic to the other, like a little kid. Stomping.
And Larry's just like, I'm just walking boxing.
He's so oblivious.
Nothing bothers me.
He's just watching his boom, boom, his favorite boxer, Boom Boom Stevens.
Boom Boom Stevens.
I don't know. They just called him Boom Boom.
Oh, I didn't know if that... I figured that was the boxer. I don't know.
Well, then we get Kirstie and Larry, and they go out to a Chinese restaurant, right?
Yes.
It's another weird scene where she's just like... He's like, hey, try to be nicer to Julia.
Yeah. Julia, who's just this cold bitch for no reason.
It's like, yeah, dude, fuck Julia.
Yeah. He can't.
Frank wants more bodies.
Yeah. He needs at least one more.
At least one more, and he wants Larry's.
Yeah, he really wants Larry's.
And Julia's not necessarily about it quite yet.
Right.
So she's going to go look for somebody else.
And then, but it's confusing because Larry and Christie are out for Chinese food. So that you know they're gone. And then, Julia's bringing another man home for Frank. But then Christie catches her. And it's like, where's Larry? Like... How did that happen?
And then, we're back at the Black Widow shit with Julia. Same old song and dance with this guy. So this guy's the most pathetic one of the bunch. Where he's like, isn't this the guy where he's like, sometimes I just get lonely?
Yeah, it is.
And then so she brings this guy up to see Frank and get fucking his fingers jammed into his neck.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, what?
He sees him, and this guy's my favorite guy. You like the vagrant? I like this guy, because she sees Frank, and she's like, Jesus Christ! And he freaks out, and then Frank starts, like, soul-sucking him. Where now his method is, he does the fingers in the neck thing.
So weird.
He, like, jams his fingers into their neck and sucks their soul juice or whatever.
And then he ends up looking, he looked like Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars.
Yes.
Like his face is all like white and like wrinkly for some reason.
Well, and then so we go back to Kirsty, who has come back into the house, and she goes up there and this guy reaches out to her. And yeah, you see his face and he's all just
fucked up.
It's all over the place for this poor old guy.
Yeah. He's not dead yet.
No, and that's the weird thing is like, so how, I wonder how long some of these people are actually left, like, drained.
Oof.
If he's doing it on purpose, like, not draining them all the way and yeah, like, leaving them like to fucking
sick
fuck. Die.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Kirsty, I think, thinks that she's going to see her stepmom cheating on her dad. Like, it seems like that's what she's expecting.
Yeah, because she has no fucking idea there's, like, all this weird shit going on.
Right. But really, it's Frank. It's Uncle Frank.
Yeah, it's Uncle Frank.
Come Kirsty. To daddy.
Kirsty, it's Uncle Frank. Yeah, the come to daddy thing. And then, yeah, we
creepy.
Get this. This is one of the weirder scenes in the movie. So Frank, he's about to do some bad things.
Yeah.
But then she grabs the box and she realizes, because he's such a little bitch, that it must have something to do with this little box. And so he freaks out when she grabs the box. She's like, you out your fucking box. And she throws it out the window. And like most people in this movie, he just fucking stands there. It's like, whatever. And then she literally runs a lap around him out the house, grabs the box.
Yeah.
It pieces out.
Yeah. And then they do this weird, like, reverberating slow motion. Kirsty, come to daddy, daddy,
come daddy. To daddy. It's fucking movie. It's great. It really is. As much as we're making it maybe seem like it doesn't hold up, it really does.
It does. It's still great,
it's just
but
hilarious.
It's just silly. Yeah. And he also does the still in slow motion. I just thought this part was hilarious, so I wrote it all down. It was him going, it's Frank. You remember? It's Uncle Frank. why are they doing that?
His voice gets low and distorted.
And yeah. All slow motion.
Well, and then, yeah, so she escapes, and then she makes it not very far, it seems like, before she kind of collapses. And then immediately, as soon as she collapses, another funny editing part. There's, like, three people hovering over, like, are you okay?
Yeah, very corny.
And then she ends up in this, like, shitty little, I guess it's a hospital. I think it's, like, a mental hospital, because it reminds me of the hospital from the second one.
I thought probably the most artsy scene or part in the thing was the flower opening up, that like red flower. They show that and that's kind of cool, and then they show her in that hospital bed.
It's almost like it's just trying to like be something. It just wants us to feel like there's some layer of depth to it that may or may not even be.
I'm a sucker for it. It's all like artsy and I love it.
Because I'm sitting there after watching The Lighthouse and I'm like picking up on all these like deep themes and stuff, and I'm sitting here watching Hellraiser and I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's just supposed to be weird.
It's like
and
the baby crying.
And it follows through the whole thing. Yeah.
We get back to the baby crying actually.
Yeah.
So then she gets to the hospital room. The doctor's a dick, and they're like, oh, just sit here, blah, blah, blah.
With this puzzle box.
And she starts messing with it, and of course, she, you know, she plays with it enough, it just goes off, and it opens up, and it...
Oops.
It's
solved. Oops.
Now I'm in the labyrinth, and so
yeah.
the labyrinth opens up, and we see she goes down this hallway, this really long hallway, and there's this baby crying, and...
There's like purple, pink, blue lights all around her. It's really cool and dreamy.
Really cool set design here too.
Yeah.
And then you see this fucking thing where it's like a spiny tail that goes over the top of like this, the bottom part's a face, like where the dick would be.
Like a huge scorpion stinger, kind of just this weird beast.
And now I will say this, and anyone who's out there who's listening, if you're a gamer, if you played Resident Evil Village lately, there's a part in that game where the main character gets chased through, spoiler alert, through a house by a giant fetus. of his daughter.
Oh,
like a man. It's not real.
Yeah.
And I think that scene where that baby is chasing after you is influenced heavily by this scene.
With the baby crying in the
from
background.
From Hellraiser.
Baby. Yeah.
But the only difference is in Resident Evil, they actually pay it off with a giant baby. And in this movie,
it's just this weird thing.
Fucking weird thing. Yeah. And I guess there's more to that creature, too, that I was reading.
Oh.
I think it was called, like, the Engineer or something like that. And there's extended universe,
yeah,
for Hellraiser.
Sure. Definitely.
There's the comic books. I think there was some older ones and some newer ones. There's a shit ton of movies,
yeah.
Even though really, really, like, the first two, maybe three, or, like, it gets a little wild. After those,
I don't even remember where it goes. We were talking about this before. Like, I've seen, I think, like 7 of them. Like, I've seen a lot of them.
Oh, I've seen them all.
I haven't seen them all.
They tore my soul apart.
I remember my ex and I were like really into watching them for a while, and then we were just kind of like, I can't do another one. Can you? I can't. Like, but someday I will.
So back to Kirstie and her hellish labyrinth meltdown.
Yep. We see the flower again on the TV in the background.
Yep. So that comes full circle.
And then the blood comes into the saline drip in kind of a similar way.
There's a lot going on here because then we get the Cenobite crew shows up.
Yep.
And it's like, you fucked with the box.
You rang.
Basically. And the box, you opened it. We came. And so she doesn't really know what's going on, and they just kind of explain to her, like, hey, so you're fucked.
Yeah.
And then the Chatterer gives her a mandible claw, too. It's a wrestling movie. He does a thing where he sticks his hand in her mouth.
Oof.
It's super gross.
Yeah.
Chatterer is super weird and creepy.
Yeah.
It's the one with the teeth, in case you guys are wondering out there listening.
You know what I was wondering? With that makeup, is it actually his gums sticking out or not?
I hope not. It
Me
seemed
too.
Like it'd be painful.
Well, all I was thinking about, because I read that before I actually rewatched it, that the reason Pinhead became such a prominent like Cenobite is because the rest of them couldn't talk.
Yeah,
and all I fair. Could think about looking at the Chatterer was like, is that because his mouth is actually open that whole time? Are those his actual teeth? Because then I'm looking at, like, how the makeup was done. This took a lot of my energy. Like, I was like, how did they do that? He's my favorite one. They are explorers in the further regions of experience.
Yeah, and he gives this cool little speech about, like, what the hell they are.
Yeah.
And Kirstie's like, hey, dude. Instead of taking me, like, have you ever heard of this guy named Frank? And they're like, yo, we know that guy.
Yeah, he's fine.
if you can get him to admit what he did, we will possibly be able to work out a deal with you.
Well, I love that at first Pinhead's like, no. And then she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, maybe if he did.
He's like, well, all right.
Like, he's like, no one could get away. Then he's like,
then maybe okay, we will change our mind.
Yeah, and they're all like, oh yeah, sure. Like, it's so
but cool. If you betray us, we'll tear your soul apart.
Yeah, for how, again, it's one of those things again that it's like, he's so goofy, but he's also so badass at the same time that you're like, I'll forgive it.
Well, and like, again, it goes back to like, it's so long ago, but I remember just the cover of the video. Like for Hellraiser 1, walking by it in movie stores or Blockbusters or wherever, and being like, that movie fucks.
Yeah, like, definitely.
That movie is scary as shit. I want to watch that.
Yeah.
For the most part, I love the first two Hellraisers. I am fully on board with. The third one, it becomes a meme, and I'm still on board.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are kind of fun, but they're like, you know, I might fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, again, it's been years and years since we sat and watched as many as we did, but it was fun. I felt like it was like, oh, you never really know what you're going to get. It can go anywhere.
There is one, though. I think it's Revelations. It's the one before the last one. Fuck that one.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that far. Is that the one that came out, like, not that
it's
long
like
ago?
It's like a found footagey one.
Oh yeah, you told me about this one. No, I haven't
yeah,
seen that.
And there's like some Pornhub, like, brother sister stuff going on. Yeah, it's a weird.
Come to daddy. So, yeah, anyway, so let's see. We're in the hospital. Oh, Chrissy's ratting out Frank. Meanwhile, Frank and Julia are like, okay, we need a plan. Like, we have to figure out, Christy's going to fuck us. We know it.
One more body and then we can just bone and get this over yeah. with.
Oh, Christy's boyfriend makes, or I guess not her boyfriend, but the guy she's been hooking up with or seeing is making like weird appearances. He has like barely a character arc at all. Like, he's just like kind of there sometimes.
He just shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. He shows up at the hospital and he's like, oh, well, she's gone. And everyone who works there is like, oh, shit. Like, we have no idea where she went. He's like, well, maybe she went home.
She disappeared into thin air, dude. I don't know, man.
Maybe she just went home. And she did. Like, okay, that's convenient.
Yeah, so she's back home, and she's trying to get there to save her dad, because she kind of knows something's up,
something's
right?
Something's awry.
Julia lets her in, and Julia's same old Julia.
Just got that creepy Black Widow vibe still.
Super fucking freaky deaky Black Widow.
Freaky deaky. Julia's ready to, well, no, actually, she just wants to, I think, kill Christy just to shut her up, right?
I think so, yeah. I think she just doesn't like her.
Yeah. She's just sick of her guess. Shit.
I think they don't like each other.
Because at this point, Larry's dead.
Frank killed Larry, stole his skin, and is now wearing Larry's skin.
Right.
Yeah. And pretending to be Larry to Kirstie. Now,
even though you can see the like blood around the top of his head.
Correct. Let's suspend disbelief for a second.
Sure.
Because this motherfucker has this pink goo cascading all around the sides of his face, and he looks off. Like, you look fucked up.
Yeah.
That's what Larry Frank was looking like. We'll call him Larry
Frank. The Larry Frank combo.
Yes. And now this is another weird thing, is so now we get to the American actor who played Larry's voice as Frank.
Oh, yeah.
There's no more dub.
Right.
And I actually like it a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, Larry as Frank
is great.
Playing Larry is probably my favorite.
Oh, you're right. I guess he was a good actor. You're right. Now that I think about it, he kind of played both.
I didn't like him until this part.
Yeah, good point.
And then he kind of rules.
And then for the first time, it makes a little more sense when he says, come to daddy. Because now he looks like her dad. Like, before when he says it, you're like, what?
Yeah, and he keeps trying to assure her, you know, everything's normal. But then he drops the line. Yeah, at some point he says, come to daddy, right? And
it
just kind of sets everything off. And she's like, no fucking way. You're not my dad.
Rips him in the face. Frank takes out, well, he takes out his switchblade again, I think, and
always
he's going to go
blade.
Stab Christy, but Christy ducks out of the way, and he stabs Julia instead, which seems like a mistake, but then right after, he's like, nothing personal, babe, like, whatever, it's like, oh, and she just immediately decomposes, like, she's just fucked up.
So he sucks her essence or whatever. And to skip ahead a little bit, how did Julia get from there to later? We see her in a bed with her face tore off.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
With the lament configuration in her hands.
That's why so much of this movie, you're like, all right, like, I guess that's what's happening.
I feel like there's like 20 to 30 minutes that like
minimum. That we're
we
not
don't
seeing.
Get.
Yeah, it's there's a lot that's not explained.
And yeah, and basically, like, from this point forward, we just get this, no pun intended, some cat and mouse shit.
Yeah, with Christy and Frank.
Yeah,
Larry Frank combo.
Larry Frank, and he does drop the line where he busts out the knife and he says, all right, no more cat and mouse shit.
Yeah.
That was a great line.
It's a great line.
Actually, it's one of my two favorite lines, and I found out they're both improvised.
Oh, really? What's the other line that was improvised?
That line was improvised, and then, okay, well, let's...
Are we going to get to it later?
We'll get to it later. It's one of the last great lines in the movie. So we get to the Cenobites now.
Well, wait, I just want to mention... Okay, during the cat and mouse thing, they show Christy in a closet. She first has Jesus come out, which made me jump. And then she's in a closet. This corpse pukes maggots onto her. So at first, I love Christy for just being quiet and having like some kind of a survival instinct at all. But then she fucks it up by standing in front of the staircase sobbing. You're like, what are you doing? The worst. She was so close. But yeah, okay, yeah, so you're right. The Cenobites are back.
Well, yeah, because, okay, yeah, so after the maggot thing, she gets led back into that room by Frank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she sees her dad's body. And then Frank does the thing where he's like a bad James Bond villain or a bad comic book villain. And he's basically like, it's me, bitch. It's your Uncle Frank.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And then the Cenobites, the lights start coming through the holes in the house because the house is fucking shit. And the Cenobites come and they're like, you said it with your own mouth.
Yeah.
We're going to fuck you up, Frank.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you get the hooks, and they start hooking him up.
Kind of back to where we started.
Yeah, and then you get back to the line that I was talking about when he's all strung up with the hooks.
Oh, I wonder.
And he's all fucked up, and he says, Jesus wept, right before he gets pulled apart.
That part was improvised?
It was improvised. He was supposed to say, fuck you.
Really?
But the actor said Jesus wept instead, which I actually thought was way better.
I did too. I actually thought that was like really chilling. And actually, like, it's a really loose connection, but they have a lot of religious symbolism throughout the movie.
Well, yeah, the Jesus is the only scary part in the movie.
Yeah. Did you jump at that part too?
With the headphones on, yes.
That's the only part that made me jump. I didn't remember that it happened. But
and then so we get the Jesus wept and he gets torn apart. And then the Cenobites are like, psych, Kirsty, we are coming for
you. We're going to fuck you up, too.
Yeah, we're fucking you up.
That one hook is like dragged along the wall and it's bleeding, which is rad.
Well, yeah, she tries to escape. And then, yeah, the female one, the female kind of one is comes up the stairs, and then, yeah, and then when we get the line, we have such sights to show
you.
Yeah,
classic line.
But then she fucks around with the box that supposedly is impossible, and she sends Pinhead back to hell first.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, don't touch that.
Stop it.
No, we're basically powerless outside of this room. Don't touch that. So Kirsty wastes Pinhead first, and then she wastes the priestess lady, and now we are given the last one, and now we know for sure that Butterball, big boy round boy, most powerful one, last one standing, Butterball. But then they drop a house on him. He's fucked. The house is all fucked up.
The beast comes back. That like weird fleshy beast thing comes
the
back.
The beast comes back, I think, right after that, because then I want to say Butterball, the house starts falling on Butterball. He's donezo.
Yep.
And then we see Kirstie's boyfriend outside the house banging on the door. So he's been outside the house for who knows how long. She opens up the door. He comes in. And then I want to say that's when the other creature comes. Mm-hmm. And I think it knocks that kid over, the cigarette boy.
Yes. Just such a little dork.
Do another one of them cigarette tricks.
It's one of those like, oh, thank God you're here. Like he just did nothing beneficial at all.
I like to imagine that he was standing outside the whole time just knocking on the door while all this shit's going on.
Flipping a cigarette inside and out of his mouth. It's like distracted.
But then, yeah, so basically they escape. The house is all fucked up. I guess at the end the house was supposed to burn down or something, but this was another like they had already spent their budget. Deals, so.
There's just like piles of like little bonfires happening that you're like, I guess it's supposed to. Okay.
And we see these little fires to which Kirsty throws the lament configuration into the fire.
Right.
Vagrant Man walks into the fire to grab the puzzle box.
Love
and
that guy.
We see what is probably the pinnacle of special effects.
Agreed.
Even by today's standards of this winged beast.
Skeleton dragon beast.
Thing.
The vagrant was like burning alive holding the box, and then I thought he morphed into that creature.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it doesn't make any sense. There's something up with him.
And that's why I love him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a mystery.
He's rad. And then it comes back full circle.
Yep, and then some other sucker buys the box, and I don't know how much that has to do with Hellraiser 2.
I know, I was thinking that too. I was like, I'm going to compare, and I didn't watch the second one.
I'm sure we'll maybe get to the second one at some point, because I do like the second one. The second one embraces like a lot of the like weirder
the stuff. Fantasy realm of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot more like the world building and in lore stuff where
the whole labyrinth thing.
The first one's more of a love story. It's like a weird fucked up love story between, you know, two fucked up people. And yeah, it's a big cucky love story, everybody.
It is. Yeah. It that's true. Like, for me, what I love about Hellraiser is the whole like fantasy world that's built outside of it. So that's why in my mind I'm always like, Hellraiser 1 doesn't really start until the last 30 minutes. But really that's just when it gets into the fantasy stuff that I like. But the first hour of the film is this weird, creepy love story that you're right. It's great. I take back what I said before. It's a good movie.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. It's a classic for a reason. So what was your favorite scene? I think you said.
I got to go with more than like, well, there's one of two. And I think my main one, my one out pick is when Frank is being built from the blood, from
formed.
The floorboards.
Yeah,
being
that's a good
reformed.
One.
Back into his nasty looking mucus and bones.
Right. Oozing gooey mess.
Yeah. The last one would probably be just the scene where Frank, the Jesus wept scene where he's covered.
Oh, that's classic.
In,
yeah.
Covered in the hooks and being ripped apart.
That's cool to know that was improvised though.
Yeah, it gives it a little extra something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. My two favorite scenes, I wrote down two as well, are, or maybe I'll even say, well, okay, I like Pinhead's lines. When we first kind of hear his lines at the end of the movie, I always loved that part. And the whole, like I said, the whole fantasy kind of scene. But my favorite is the skeleton beast that's like formed at the very end. I completely forgot about that last part in that movie.
Me too, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
I was like, how did I not remember this? This is amazing.
Yeah, it conjured the same feeling in me too. I was like, so I need to remember to remind myself the next time I watch Hellraiser that there's a giant fucking winged skeleton beast that flies out of a fucking
And I'm trying
fire.
To, because again, it's been so many years since I've even seen the second one, but I'm like, does he come back? Does the skeleton dragon come back? We might even see him like floating through the world in the second one, because there's so much going on in the second one. Like,
well, and yeah, the second one's weirder too. Like, mm-hmm. They definitely embrace some of the weirder aspects to it. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
So what was your rating for this classic horror film?
Ooh, let's see. Hellraiser 1987. I will give a 3.5 chattering chatterers out of 5.
That's way. I did 3 out of 5 puzzle boxes. Just not as exciting as a chattering chatterer.
I just made that up.
Oh,
I didn't have one ready at
You're
all.
You're like, oh, but shit.
Everything I do, I fly by the seat of my pants.
Do you do that every single time?
No. I mean, I have
like
notes.
I usually come up with it. Yeah.
I have notes and I follow them until I get lost. And then then I maneuver. I figure it out.
All right. Well, what's your film for next week?
My choice for our weekly poll is Psycho Goreman.
Oh, I've heard that's great.
It's a 2020 horror comedy available on Shudder. It's about an intergalactic assassins converge on a small town after two siblings unwittingly resurrect an ancient alien overlord.
I watched the trailer too. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks fun. And
Have you seen it?
No, I have not. And the last couple that I've picked, I have seen. And so I wanted to switch it up a little bit.
Absolutely. So when we started recording, I realized that I hadn't actually chosen a film for this week on accident.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just did this like 15 minutes ago.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Perfect. Well, no. So I have this list of movies that I just put in my phone like, oh, this looks good. This looks good. There was one that I saw the cover on Shudder. I'm still like a kid in Blockbuster. But I saw the cover and I was like, that looks fucked up. It's called Possum. Have you seen it?
I have not.
I'm going to look up what the actual story, because I have no idea what it's about. I just saw the cover and I was like, that looks really fucked
up. Well, I hope it's about a possum.
I love possums. But it says, after returning to his childhood home, a disgraced children's puppeteer is forced to confront his wicked stepfather and the secrets that have tortured his entire life. No.
Yeah, I like random Shudder movies, though. Yeah, I've had a lot of good luck with those.
Yeah.
For better or worse, like even some of the not so great ones, they're at least pretty original and fun usually.
Yeah, it came out 2018.
Excellent.
But the cover is really cool looking. So yeah. So sweet, those are our votes. Sweet. I don't think we can go wrong. I think those both sound fantastic.
No matter what happens, it's going to be a new movie that we watch.
Possum versus, what was your, Psycho Goreman.
Psycho Goreman.
Psycho Goreman. So vote. You can vote on the Twitter, on our Instagram, at TJ Watch Movies.
And come drop us a line on there, too. Come chat with us. We have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the same handle, all TJ Watch Movies. Shoot us an email if you want, same handle.
Yeah, for sure. If you've watched the movie with us, comment and let us know what you think, because it's interesting to hear.
When I also think that if you go onto our Anchor homepage at anchor.fm/TJWatchMovies, somewhere on there, there is a way you can leave us voice messages too, if you ever want to, and we can check those out.
Play them?
Well. We could play them on the air too if you guys want. So,
interesting. You're like, I don't know where it is. It's Fable.
Shoot us a line. It's on there somewhere.
Yeah.
You guys can figure
Legend
it out.
Legend has
like
it.
A little mystery.
Yeah.
But yeah, so check us out on social media. And don't forget to vote in our polls. That will be up later today, sometime this afternoon, evening time. And until next time, everyone, be well.
Be well.